Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Sit up front, because a few years ago he asked me if I was in church that morning, and I was sitting like somewhere right there. So I said, okay, from now on I'm going to sit up front and you'll see me, so you'll know I was there. But I thank Jennifer this morning for making me a mom 23 years ago. And really, at that time when we would have had Mother's Day here, I didn't feel like it was for me. I felt like it was my mom that was the mom. But after yesterday morning, having two college graduates, I feel like a mom. So we cover things well, you know, through the years. But the last 2 weeks, we've moved. We've cleaned Jennifer's apartment, getting it ready. And I've cleaned floors there. And then yesterday, we cleaned Benjamin's apartment to bring him home. And after graduation, we were all working in his apartment, and his two roommates were there. And as I was scrubbing toilets on my knees and cleaning and saying, you know, so many times I wanted to be there to do that, but the Lord knew that. He took him 8 hours away where I couldn't just drop in and say, I came to clean your house, you know, whatever. The Lord said, this is your opportunity. Even if you don't feel like it right now, you know, you've just had graduation and everything, but I feel like a mom today. But the Lord gave me a verse, and I'm going to read it and just explain. A few days ago, it was John 15:13. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life or her life for her friends or his friends. And of course, this was the Lord Jesus talking about. He was going to do that, literally die for us. But as moms, as a mom, I know that daily, some of you are laying down your lives for your children. And that might not be death in the physical, but I'm talking about things that you do that you only know, and the Lord knows, and he's the rewarder of that. But the Lord wanted to encourage you today. And I was saying, someone said this, and it was me, to myself, that I believe that God's love, the closest way to explain it on this earth, very little percentage of it is with a mom's love. And I always looked at my mom, and I talked to her this morning. I said, Mom, I have learned from you the sacrificial love, the unselfish love that she has laid down her life almost every day for years now. And I love my dad. I'm, you know, growing up, they always said that I loved my dad more than anybody. But I know more than anything now that because my mom was sacrificial in her love, because she was unselfish in her love, because she was patient in her love, the Lord blessed our family. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you today. And then, of course, the greatest love is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we learn to love. If we didn't have him, then it would be very hard to love. Because so many times you say, Lord, just love them through me with your love. Even if you don't feel the love at times and you're doing things that just, you know, you just do it on automatic. Like sometimes we know when the plane is flying and then all of a sudden the captain starts flying it, you can feel it. And so it's almost like sometimes you just have to keep doing, and you will reap. If you sow in love, you will reap love. And so happy Mother's Day today. I know that was not one of those verses that you know, would have thought maybe for, because it's like, and they say, and her children will rise up and call her blessed. And someday they will. Some days they won't. But the Lord's love. Well, I mean, I'm talking about all of your children. I'm not just talking about mine. But it's so wonderful they're up here today. I just feel so blessed. The Lord's given me my right hand and my left hand. And they're both such wonderful children, and I'm watching them grow, and I'm watching, you know, him walking across the platform yesterday was just a blessing. And then a few months ago when Jennifer did it, it's just like God's grace and mercy. So anyway, so we have, we have a few other things. Oh, yeah, and another friend of mine told me this morning, she said, "No one loves you like your mother." And I said, I will quote that too. So, okay, and Terry will come help me with these, maybe change them as we're going along, you know. I came up with a few things that we're going to bless some moms today. And Tatiana is here to help us, and Micah. So they were very willing to run down the aisles and bring you the flowers you see right here. So this morning we want to honor the mother that's here with the most children. She's sitting here at church, and she's got them in the nursery. She's got them in children's church. She has them sitting with her. Who has more than five of her kids here this morning? Okay. Who has four? Bless you. Okay. And who? I can see it. Oh, Melanie. Okay. Well, there you go. Welcome.
You can only win once. Huh? Yeah, let's say you can only win one time, all right? Well, some years we've had mothers won three times in a row, all right? You only win one time. If you've already won, yeah, if you're already won, disqualify yourself now. If you've got a flower, you're disqualified from it, okay?
I'll give you one later. No. Mother with the most children under 10. That you have the most children. Okay, who has five children or more under 10 that's here this morning? That you are here this morning. Your children don't need to be here.
I wonder where they are if they're under 10 years old.
Four?
Three.
Three? Okay. Yeah, we saw this yesterday. Some of them, they made them stand up if their mom was graduating. Who is a mom here that graduated this year? From nursing school, from college, from anything, you graduated this year. Well, I'm talking about like... Okay, who's working to graduate? Is in school right now to graduate. Okay, good job. Great job. The oldest mom that we have here. So let's start 80 and plus. A mom that's 80 plus. Miss Saranel, bless you. Okay, the youngest mom. The one that just had a baby, and I was hoping Luke's wife would be here. But who is the youngest mom here? That's 25 and younger. Let's start with that. Oh, yes. She's right there, look. And there's Luke. Who else is here? Stand up. Good job. And? Oh, yeah. Who had a baby that just is maybe 3 months and younger? The newest mom? Yvette. Yes. One more left? Oh, yeah. And who is a mom that gave her heart to the Lord recently? Just got saved maybe a year or so. Or less. How about 2 years ago? You gave your heart to the Lord. Wow. Yeah. Okay, 3 years or so. That you're brave enough to stand up. 4 years ago? Five years ago. Okay.
All right, give him a great clap offering, would you? We have one more? All right, let's do this. Who's got the oldest vacuum cleaner here? Let's see how this goes. Who's had the same vacuum cleaner the last 3 months? Let's see your hands. No, who's had the last vacuum cleaner 10 years? Let's see, how many's had the vacuum? All right, who's had a vacuum cleaner 15 years? Who's had a vacuum? Who don't even have a vacuum cleaner? Who has the vacuum cleaner for 20 years? Who's had a vacuum cleaner 25 years? 30 years? 40 years? Well, anybody 40 years? All right, 35 years. 35 years? You've already won, right? You've already won one.
Miss Marlene,
too. No. Oh, yeah. Miss Marlene. Well, okay, wait. We got right back here, too. All right, 36 years. Do the math for me. I can't do math. I'm tired this morning. 38 years? 38 years? 38 years. Won it over here. Now, this is a medical doctor, and she really needs... Come on. It worked. Well, everybody say amen. Say Happy Mother's Day one more time. Would you say it to everybody? All right. Thank you, Jasmine. We had yesterday, we were in Tennessee most of the day yesterday. My son graduated from Lee University, and he graduated summa cum laude. Come on, somebody say amen. That means he's pretty smart. Come on, somebody say he got it all from me and how that all works. No, from his mother's Mother's Day. And we just appreciate having him in and good. He did a great job and pulled a 4-0 the whole 4 years, which is tough. Anybody that's done that knows that's a tough thing. So we are proud of what he did. In doing that, the last 33 years, I think I preached the Mother's Day message here. And this week I told Kenny we're going up for graduation. We are coming back, but we'll be here in body only. You know, my brain's a little tired. In fact, we had, after the graduation yesterday morning, we had a 7 o'clock, which is 6 o'clock this time, a breakfast, and then we had a 9:30 graduation, and then we went out to eat, and then we moved him from the third story dorm room with no elevator, and then we drove back here last night 9 hours. So we're here in body only, and so we're here. But I asked Kenny this week, I said, we'll be back, but I want you to preach this morning. And he said, I've never done a Mother's Day message, and the first time, and I realized I'd done the last 33 in a row. And so I've said everything I can say, you know, in 33 years. No, but he was very gracious doing that, and I appreciate what he's done. And you know, Kenny, you know, one of the keys is I've allowed my staff to be used other places, and Kenny's one of them. And many of the churches do not have strong leadership around the senior guy. They kind of like a one-man show, and everybody else never has a chance. And to grow and minister and do and all that. And I really appreciate Kenny growing through the years and keep growing and the Lord using him and opening up more doors for him now than years ago. And so I always appreciate him when he comes. And so give Brother Kenny a good welcome today. He's going to bring the Mother's Day message. One more thing. We have Mother's Day gifts for you, and we want to give them out after the service today. So they're going to be given out afterwards. So at this door and this door, if the ushers would help us, as you're leaving today, we have your little Mother's Day gift we normally give to you. So that'll be there for you. Everybody say amen.
Amen. Good morning. I want to know about that vacuum cleaner. Either it's a real good vacuum cleaner or you never use it. Okay. I know Rob uses it. Okay. Today I want to talk to you about a good mother. How many of you know we need good mothers? We got lots of mothers. You can have a baby, but you cannot be a good mother sometimes. You need to be a good mother. And I want to talk about a spiritual good mother today. And I was, you know, Pastor Terry asked me if I would do this service today, and I said, sure, I'll be glad to do it. And then I thought about it. I just lost my mother 2 months ago. And it's like, this is the first year I've ever had Mother's Day without a mother. But I got so many mothers that's in here. You guys, it's taken me under your wing. Even you may be young mothers, but you've helped grow. How many of you know that we are the family of God? And we have fathers and we have mothers in the faith. And I just appreciate what God did when he made Adam. But he took dirt, if you will, and made him. But you know what? You gals got a better situation. He took a rib out of Adam and made you. Even though we're made out of the dirt, you're made out of a rib. And that tells me that's good things. And we need mothers. We need somebody to raise our children. The day that we're living in right now, I'm seeing so many things that's going haywire in the homes. And a lot of the mothers are fleeing the home and leaving their children. And it's time for mothers to take a stand and say, you know what? I'm not going to be part of that crowd that's going out from the things of God. But I'm going to be one of those mothers that will stand and make a difference for the kingdom of God. Amen? But I want to read this scripture to you. It's Proverbs 14:1. And I know we got a video, but I'm not going to do that today or these other things. I want to do some of this one right here because we're short on time. Proverbs 14:1, it says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." You know, that tells me that you girls have just as much challenge to build a home as we do. I enjoyed building my house. I put most of the boards in it. I know where every nail, every piece of sheetrock, everything was there. And that was all that was a house. But I could not build a home without my wife, because a home and a house is two different things. And a woman is the one that instills that love and that compassion and that sincerity that needs to go in a family. And I had two boys, so I didn't know how to give all of that stuff to them. But my wife did, because she was a good mother. And thank God she was a godly mother. She was already saved when we had our kids. I was not. So she had to basically carry the load for me as well as for her. And that is very important, because I know some of you women here today, you basically carry the load for your home today, because some of you may have a husband that's not serving God or not doing the things that he needs to do. And I honor women that will make a stand for the things of God, that will stand in the gap and believe not only for their children, but for their husband, and know that God is going to bring them around one day. Amen? A good mother is a Christian mother. She has been mindful of God's mercy. Psalms 103:17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." Isn't that good? That this is not a thing that's just going to start and just fade out, but it's going to continue to go if the women will be strong and do that. She has received Christ as her Savior. She is confident. She knows who she is. I love it when a woman knows that she is called of God and appointed from God to do motherhood in her family. Not to do away with the husband's role, but to take her stand and to know and be confident. There's many of us here today because of a praying mother somewhere that took the time. And I had a praying grandmother that prayed for me. I came out of, you know, y'all know my testimony. I came out of a very dysfunctional family. And I didn't get to see a good fatherhood or a good motherhood. And I'm not belittling my parents about that, because it don't really matter how you started. It matters how you ended. And I watched both of them get saved and begin to take on that role. And I watched my mother become a stronger mother even in her older age than she was when she was little. How many of you know that we all need a little understanding about God? Because none of us has arrived there. But I watched God use my mother. Even after she was saved, she would tell me things. And it was like, wow, she's telling me, and I'm a pastor. And I used to couldn't drag her to church, begged her to go, told her I'd come pick her up, bring her, and she wouldn't go. And then she started going to two different churches at the same time. She would go to one in the morning, and 2 hours later, she'd go to the other one. And it just blew me away. It's like, she has found God. She knows what she is, and she does a good job at it. She has a Christian life worthy of her calling. Ephesians 4 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling, with which you are called." All the mothers say, "I'm called." You know, you have a calling on your life, just like anybody else has a calling on their life. But you have been called to be a mother, and a great one. A good mother is devoted to her husband. This devotion is seen by her subjection to him. Not a slave, but a subjection to him. You know, sometimes when I do premarital counseling, the word submit always pops up. And I've seen people say, "I'll be submitted to my husband," because they know that he's submitted to God. There's an order about that. If a husband is submitted to God, a woman will readily be submitted to her husband. But I've had some women that's come in there before, and they'd say, do you submit to your husband? And I had one of them get up one time and throw some keys down on my desk and just rant and rail and just say, I'll never submit to him or any other man. And it's like, I looked at him and it's like, this is not going to make you a very good wife at all. And they didn't get married, thank God. But there's a submission. But guys, I want you to know something. This is Mother's Day, but we have to be submitted to the Lord. And when we're submitted to God, then our wives will readily submit to us. Not to be a walking mat, not that we're a dictator, but when we hear from God, they will hear from us. Amen? I don't want to get too far into that. That'll get me in trouble. 1 Peter 3:1, it says, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. You know, my wife was a godly woman, and I was not a godly man. But I watched how she lived. That was one of the only Christians that I could see that was close to where I was at one time in my life. And I watched her, and I never realized that she was there praying for me, standing in the gap, and eventually God brought me around to that place. I'm forever thankful for that. She's not my mother, she's my wife. But she led a good example. If she can do that for her husband, how much more can you moms live that for your sons and your daughters? That's going to go sometimes, and this is not a bad confession, but people grow up and they get away from God. I hate to say that. But if you will not be moved in your faith, your kids may wander off somewhere, but they're going to come back. Because they know where the food is. They know where, amen? They know where the food is, but they also know where the good is. And they know the goodness is in a mom. And they'll come back to that mother, if you will. This devotion is seen by her reverence to him. Ephesians 5:3, it says, let the wife see that she respects her husband. This devotion is seen by her faithfulness to him. 1 Corinthians 7, a wife is not to depart from her husband. Amen? He's no lemon. Work it out. You might have married him and said, boy, did I get a dud, you know. He is a lemon. We don't have the lemon law for husbands and wives. You understand that? You know, you go buy a car and it's not any good. You got about 4 or 5 days. You can go bring it back. Tell them, this is a lemon. I don't want it. Well, I tried to do Janice that when we first got married, you know. I brought her home. It's like, what have I done? I have woke up in a bad dream. And I brought her back to her mother, and I said, I don't want her. You take her. And her mother said, go and work it out. She is not welcome in this home. I thought her mother was really mean. But you know what? That was the best thing that ever happened to us, you know. This May 31st, we'll be married 48 years. Am I right? Had I left the lemon at the door, I wouldn't have had 2 sons. I wouldn't be where I'm at today because I honored her mother in what she said, the wisdom that she said that in, and I made a difference because somebody challenged me. Amen? A good mother loves her life. She likes to work with her hands. Proverbs 31:13, it says, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. I love it when women work and do things. Janice said, I am so happy when I'm cutting the grass. And I said, I am too. I can sit on that porch and watch her cut grass all day long. Just sip tea and wave to her when she comes by. I give her those parade waves when she comes by. You're looking good, baby. Keep on going. She prepares a provision for her household. It doesn't say she goes to get provision. It says she prepares the provision. That means I got to go work for it and bring it home, and then she can fix it. And by the way, she does a real good job. Brother Terry said he's watched me grow in the years, and you have, brother. I weighed a whopping 140 pounds when I came to work here. The first 6 months, Janice really overcooked. She likes to cook for preachers. And since I are one, she cooked good for me. I gained a lot of weight out of it. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. She wants her home life to count for the Lord. I want to challenge you, ladies, today. Do you want your life to count for the Lord in everything that you do? That's very important. Joshua 24:15, it says, "But for as me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, I got up one day and made that proclamation at my house. My home was getting dysfunctional one time. And I finally came to the realization to where it's like, I need to take my place as the priest of this house, and from this day forward, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I looked at her, and she said, "I agree." Now, if you don't have the support of a mom or your wife with you, it's going to be hard for you to move on into the things of God. But I want to challenge the women here today, you moms especially, purpose it in your heart. As for you and your household, you will serve the Lord. And you will see some great things come out of it. A good mother loves her children. She loves them because they are obedient to her. All the kids say, "Amen, Mom." Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." You know, I was a rebellious teenager. I don't know how my mother made it with me around. And when I finally left, she probably said, "Thank God he's gone. You know, at least he's not a bother." But nevertheless, I loved my mother, even though all the things that we went through in our lives, I still loved her because I knew that there was something that was in the Scripture. But even before I was a Christian, I knew that I was to honor and to respect my parents. And many times I didn't do that. And it's like, buddy, your life is going to get cut short. Somebody told me that one time that was a heathen. They were not even a Christian, and they told me that. And when I read it in the Word of God, it's like, I am supposed to honor my mother and my father. I don't care how they started. The end is not here, and I'm going to do that, and I will watch God do that. I was able to preach a sermon one time at my daddy's birthday after I did not see them for over 12 years. And I preached a sermon. They asked me to preach, and I preached about the prodigal son. And I confessed to them that I was the prodigal son, even though they're the ones that cut me off. I still took the blame, if you will, if you want to say that, for that. And I watched my daddy for the first time get turned around. But besides that, I watched my mother come around and begin to take on the mothership that she had in our life. Amen? It's easy to do that when you want to make it work. But it's got to count. It's got to come to that place. Another one is, she loves them because they honor her. Honor your father and mother. That your days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord your God has given you. She loves them because they are a heritage to the Lord. You know, it's such a blessing to come and watch you guys when you have babies, to bring them down here and dedicate them to the Lord and know that God has got a plan for these children, that we as parents are nothing but just stewards. They're just loaned to us for a very short time. They're going to grow up and they're going to go and be what God wants them to be. But He's trusted us to instill part of my life, part of my wife's life, into our children. But we've got to dedicate them to Him and let Him do with them what He wants to do. That is a heritage that He is going to use, but we're going to be a part of that heritage if we will do what God wants us to do. It's a blessing to watch. And I've been able to, you know, being here long as Pastor Terry and I've been, to dedicate some of you when you were babies. And now you got babies. To watch and see what God has done, that heritage has been passed from one generation to another, to another, to another. You know, we did water baptism last week, and here's my sister right here. Her children got baptized, and her children's great-grandmother and grandmother and her children were here. That's four generations. Am I right? That's right. Four generations of a family that's watched the heritage love God and to do what God wanted them to do. And it's because a mom loved their children. How good that is. A good mother dresses according to Christian standards. Now, I'm going to be patient with you guys, okay? I'm going to just try to do this as gracefully as I can. It says, she does not dress to catch the eye of men. 1 Peter 3:3 says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing the gold, or putting on fine apparel." That's good stuff. We went to a play one time, Janice and I and my youngest son, Chad, and we go, and they had this group of people there. And Janice was the only woman that had lipstick and earrings, ear bobs on. See, some of y'all laughing, you that age, do you know what an ear bob is? You know, I call them ear bobs, they're earrings. But we were there, and my son was there, and he was kind of young at the time, and he said, "Daddy," he said, "you know, Pastor Terry said that it would be good for women to wear jewelry, because some of them it's like sin if they don't. Makeup and jewelry." And I said, What? What did you say? He said, "Pastor Terry said it's like sin for some women not to wear makeup and jewelry." And I looked around and it's like, he's right. But you know, that's not what makes a woman. She dresses in modest apparel. 1 Timothy 2:9, it says that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. She has an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. This is what I like. This is what makes a mom and a woman a woman. 1 Peter 3:4, "Rather, let it be hidden, the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Now, I like that. Because when you see, you know, I have to liken this to a brand new Christian person. I've seen people come in these doors that were distraught and downbeaten and just pale looking and just some people just mean and frustrated. But I've watched them come to the altar and I've watched God come into their life. And there's an inner beauty that begins to come out of that person. There's even a glow that's on their face. Because you know that God has done something in that person. And there's nothing more beautiful than to see a mom that loves her children, that serves God and loves her husband, and does the things that God wants her to do, to see that inner beauty that's within her. When she speaks, there's wisdom there. When she says something, there's good things that she says out of her mouth. And you can see that inner beauty that's there. She may not be all painted up and have glitter on her. I do stutter once in a while, but I get it out in a minute. But it's not that part of it. It's that part, it's that inner beauty that she knows who she is and there's a confidence there and she knows her God and she knows her husband and she knows her children. That's that inner beauty. And the Bible says, which is very precious in the sight of God. When God sees that, God is well pleased with that woman. Amen? All you women, y'all not amening me today. A good mother has praise for the Lord. She praises the Lord with thanksgiving. Psalms 141:7 says, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God." That's another beautiful thing, is to watch a woman just worship God. We used to have a couple of ladies that was right back there. One of them was a brand new mom. And it was just, she was so expressive in the way that she would worship God. She worshiped God with everything that was in her. I watch my wife do that. She'll be working in the yard and she don't even know I'm watching her sometimes. And I know that she is alone with God and she's worshiping Him and praising Him. And there's something exciting about that. When you know that you can trust your wife because she is trusting God. Amen? She praises the Lord from the depths of her heart. Psalms 9, verse 11, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works." I love to hear women testify about what God's doing in their life, how that where they lived before and they got saved and how God has brought them from that darkness to the marvelous light. And now they're leading other people in the paths of righteousness. And they praise God for doing those things. Do you understand it's more than making biscuits and mopping floors to be a mom? It's a lot more. And when we start praising and when we start doing what God wants us to do, it's an overall witness of everything that we do. She praises the Lord regularly. Psalms 35:28, it says, "And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praises all the day long." Amen? A good mother is an honor to her family. She is a crown to her husband. Proverbs 12:4 says, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is rottenness to his bone." Is rottenness to his bone. You know, when a man can love a wife, or mom, if you will, and know that she's faithful to him, it's a crown to him. But if she gets out of that order and does things wrong, it's a rottenness to his bones. Thank God I've never had to feel that, never had to go through that. But I know people that have, and I know that it hurts them. But the sad part about it is it goes over into the family, and the children get that same problem after a while. But when a mother stands true to God and stands true to the things of God, that will never happen. Amen? We're trying to avoid some things here. She is praised by her husband. Proverbs 31:28. Her husband praises her. Amen? See, guys, we need to praise our wives. We need to praise our moms. I used to tell my mom the last time I saw her, and she was really healthy. She was coming down that hall in that nursing home with that wheelchair. Boy, she was just a clicking coming down there. She was going to play bingo, get her a little $3. She knew she could win. She was good at that. And I watched her. Boy, she come down there, and I saw her way down the hall, and she had that smile, and I punched Janice. I said, "Look at her. Ain't she pretty?" And she was. My mom was a pretty lady for 87 years old. I know your age. I don't know hers. Okay. But I praised her. I said, "Mom, you're looking good today." I said, "I'm so proud of you. You're doing good. You've come in here." And my mom went in there on her deathbed, really. They put her in there and waited for her to die. And God just raised her up, put her in a wheelchair, and then she took off, and she just pretty well did what she wanted to do. But I used to praise her. I praise my wife. I tell her all the time, "Honey, you look so good on that Kubota. You know, and that new dress that you wanted and I went and bought for you, you're looking good in there." You know. Amen? Was that good? She is called blessed by her children. Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." Blessed. I want to challenge the children in here. You won't always have your mother. One day she's going to leave. One day your father is going to pass. And you won't have them. And you'll wake up and say, "Wow, if I just had one more day, I could tell my mother that I love her. Or one more day, I could say, you know, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for bringing me into this world. Thank you that you did not go and abort me. Thank you that you had me. And it might have been hard for you. You might have gave up a career for me. But thank you, mother, for doing that. You might have gave up a lot of things in your life, but mother, thank you for what you're doing. You're a blessed woman." And if you want the blessings of the Lord on you and you want to bless your mom, we need to do that. See, we don't give enough people, we don't give them flowers until most of them pass away. And they go put a bundle of them on the coffin. But I've learned through the years that you need to give them one every day. And it may not be so much a flower, but it can be a word out of your mouth or a hug or a shake, or whatever you do, ever how you express yourself to your parents, you need to do that on a daily basis. Amen? And we're going to end so you can beat the other people to the Piccadilly. Take your mom out to eat today. That would be a good thing to do, and then we're still going to do some gifts, all right? So Pastor Terry's going to do that. So while they're getting that ready, if you go out that door, be sure moms go out that door, or this door right here. There's going to be people at both of them. Am I right, Sal? Okay, good. There will be children, kids at this door, and kids at this door to pass out the gifts to the moms when you go out. So when you go out, just be blessed. Go there. And, of course, you guys take your wife, and you children, go bring your mother out to eat. And I want you to just stand up right now. Every mom in here, I want you to stand up. All right. Look at this. Give them a hand. All right. Now, if you have children here with you, or your children's in the church, I want you to go to your mom right now, wherever you are. Hurry, go do that. And I want you to just look at them right square in their eyeballs. Let them move around a little bit here. But I want you to look at your mom and just tell her, in your own words, but tell her something like this: Mom, I love you. Mom, I'm thankful for you. And Mom, you are blessed. And I want to bless you. Amen? All right. Good. Now reach in your son's pocket and get about $50. Why is that? Bless you guys. Happy Mother's Day, and we're dismissed, and you can go ahead and take your moms out to eat.